All right, first up we have Daniel Sittler with What If.
Find some rage to channel, find a cage to rattle, find a way to matter in the end. Find a place to hide, find some time to bide, find a way to make amends.
All right, I have C major and D major with variations, and Daniel is reporting C major 7th add 9 and 11, and D major add 9 and add 11, which is fine. This sounds like a sort of current punk pop that should appeal to me, and it does. If the main goal of this challenge is to take a couple of chords and to do something interesting and full with that terrible hobbling limitation, then this song definitely does that. It avoids being repetitive. There's a lot of energy and good stuff to listen to throughout. And it's maybe somehow missing some of the charm of his round 1 through 3 songs. Though, you know, there's nothing specific that I can point to with that. I enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as I enjoyed his other songs, but it's impressive what he did with these two chords.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I really liked how the first verse starts out with just drum, bass, and vocals. And I think the bass sounds really good. I actually had my bass with me when I was listening to start to try to pick out things, and they're a better bass player than I am. just going back between C and D sounds pretty solid. And then the guitars come in during the second half of the verse, mirroring the bass and playing power chords on C and D. Sounds really cool in the verse. And then the pre-chorus comes in, and there's like this urgency that builds up with the staccato guitars and drums playing in unison. And then it just blasts into the chorus, and it's pretty great. Like, What If It's All for Nothing, I think, is a powerful chorus hook. It's a sentiment that I've certainly thought at one time or another. It's got some great angst, and Daniel really comes through on the vocal delivery. And I remember thinking, this is my favorite. I'm one song in, and I'm sure this is going to be the winner. And you know, that sort of punk thing, that angsty kind of angry music really does it for me. And you know, I wouldn't have even noticed it was a two-chord song, I don't think.
Yeah, I am with you. I really loved the opening. The delay on the guitar is a really cool effect. And when you put that on the syncopated drums, it just makes this really awesome polyrhythm going on with that intro. And then they bring it back later, and it's just, God, it feels like you're swimming through this beautiful guitar sound. I really loved the chorus. I totally head bopping. I was singing along with it all the time. I was singing along while I was like doing dishes and just like bursting into song. There were two songs this round that did that for me, and this is one of them where it was just like, yeah, I want to sing along with this.
What if it's all for nothing?
And we're just getting by. Yes, I know. I love it.
I can hum it.
Yeah.
It works as a hook.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I thought it was interesting how they used the effects on the guitars. You know, the opening has that cool reverb and delay on it. They bring back the reverb in the chorus to harken back to the beginning, and then when they have the post-chorus, it brings back that delay as well. So it just has a really nice tying in effect. The minimal reverb on the vocal, you know, it makes it really sit on top of the instrumentals. At first I thought that there was no reverb on the vocal at all, but then I realized that it did have just a littlest bit, which I think is probably the same reverb that they had on the drums, which was also just enough to be there. I have a couple of just nitpicks. These, you can ignore them because I wouldn't have noticed if I wasn't listening to it on repeat for the past 3 days. But like in the first pre, the vocal gets ever so slightly off the beat. And in verse 2, the doubling of the guitar is not quite locked in with the vocal, which I think they're supposed to have the same rhythm and the same melody. And it just doesn't quite line up as it could.
That's but so again, punk though.
Fair enough. It could just be stylistic, and I was literally sitting there looking for something to say that it's a drawback, and wasn't really there. I did mention earlier about the idea of intervals aren't chords, and you could use that as a loophole. This is the song where in the verses, well, particularly in verse one, they have the melody and the bass, but there's not really any sort of harmony or pad or anything behind it. So it is just the melody and the bass. And in theory, they could have gone to imply other chords, but they didn't. So good on you for staying to the spirit.
Nice.
I do want to say, let's talk about chords.
Yeah. So the C and the D, yeah. Like there are two major chords that are next to each All other.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I don't believe that it is a C and a D.
Okay.
I flat out reject that. Yeah. Okay. It's a C major 7, add 9, add 11, which look, if the 7's in there, you can just say it's a C major 11 chord and it's got all three of those extra tones. That is literally a C chord and a G7 chord. So you've got the tonic and the dominant, the 1 and the 5 on top of each other. And depending which one you emphasize with the bass or with the instrumentation, you really end up having a 1 chord and a 5 chord squished together. Add to that D major. D is the dominant of G. If this song is in C major, it's D is a 5 of 5 because D is normally minor in C major. So in reality, I think this is actually a song that is in the key of G with C as the subdominant or the 4 chord and D as the dominant.
Yeah.
And so that's, you end up having a 3 chord song.
Yeah. And that's
kind of sneaky.
But that's sort of cheating when somebody else is doing it, right? No, I'm
kidding. It's cheating when someone isn't a shadow.
Yeah.
But honestly, I like this song enough that I might not ding them too hard in my rankings, since I know this is a ranked vote.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I mean, I'm going to use my toy piano as my own judge. I was able to play those
C and D.
I just did C and D major. I didn't do the 7th, 9th, and 11th. You know, screw that. I just played those.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that sounds nice, and it fits in with everything. And I know other stuff is going on. There's different variations and stuff, but it all sounds, you know, if you have a toy, and I recommend that you get a toy piano and play along with this song. If you play along, it fits. It doesn't sound dissonant at any point. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have no doubt that they're cheating, that they're one of several bands
cheating. I will point out, though, that there are two types of dissonance. There's crunchy dissonance, which is what most people think of, tritones, minor seconds, blah, blah, blah. But then you also have, like, pleasing dissonance. You know, you're add 9, you're 11. Those are technically dissonances. And if you've added them in, even if you play the C chord over a G chord, it still sounds like it fits. Anyway, I am... Team, this is a 3 chord song, but I like it enough to not care too much.
All right.
Okay, fair.
They wouldn't have passed your scrutiny.
No.
Okay.